Ghost Hunting in New England,
your favorite spooky podcast. Hello and happy Wednesday. Welcome to this week's episode of Ghost Hunting in New England with your host, Amelia.
And Spooky Beth.
Spooky Beth.
Spooky Beth.
Ooh, she's a witch, I tell ya. How are you tonight, Beth?
I'm tired. How are you?
I'm great. It's so close to spooky season. I painted my nails black. I'm getting in the spirit of the holidays. A little. I'm getting there. I'm working my way up. I feel like it hasn't been very spooky weather lately, but today I looked outside and it was like full fall foliage all over the place. And I was like,
I also noticed that today.
Yeah. It's been like peaking here and there, but today was the first day. It was like, bam.
Yeah.
It's fall, like, baby.
Like winter is coming. There's no more putting it off.
I don't know. We'll see. We've had some really mild winters lately, so hopefully this will be mild too. They're saying it's going to be like the worst one of all time, but they always say that.
I would agree with that. I feel like I do hear that every year.
And it's whatever, except in 2015 when we got like 25 feet of snow. But
let's not rush through to winter because we still have 2 weeks of spooky season left.
Yeah.
So there's this episode.
I was going to say that. This is our pre-Halloween episode.
Yeah. Or our penultimate for season 5.
Penultimate. That's one of my dad's favorite words.
Ooh, it's a very fancy word. I like that one.
Yeah, he really likes it. Okay. What are we talking about tonight, Beth?
So our haunted topic for tonight is haunted inns of Vermont. To keep with our whole leaf peeping theme we have going on here.
Sweet. I love Vermont. I've said it before. I'll say it again. Vermont's my favorite state. I love Vermont. I can't get enough of Vermont. I actually went to a very nice B&B in Vermont one time. It was all vegan. Pie in the sky, B&B. 10 out of 10 stars. They got all these ducks there and you run around with the ducks.
But you don't eat the ducks.
No, it's vegan. No.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
Just hang out with the ducks. They're really cute. I'm thinking about buying a duck. I don't know.
I think ducks are mean.
So am I. It's fine.
Okay. Yeah, I think Liddy would be very unhappy if there was a duck in the house.
I wouldn't let the duck live in the house, live in my barn.
That just seems mean.
No, that's where ducks live. They live in the barn. It goes for a little swim in the little pool. And lives a nice little happy duck life. What a big yard. Or I've been talking about getting a goat for a few weeks now. I think I actually might get a goat.
I believe I suggested that should be your next business, getting goats and lending them out to people to eat their poison ivy.
Yeah. Goat landscaping.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone's interested in goat landscaping, hit me up for an investment opportunity. Oy vey. All right, let's get started. Beth, you want to talk about some haunted hotels in Vermont?
I do want to talk about some haunted hotels in Vermont. Actually, I have a haunted inns. What's the difference?
I think I only have inns too.
Well, what's the difference between a hotel and an inn?
You know, hotels are, I mean, I don't know like the technical difference, but hotels are like boring, cookie cutter. You get your like continental breakfast, you stay on like the 8th floor, you have housekeeping, all this other stuff. An inn is like quaint, homey, there's like 10 rooms, no one's bugging you during the day, it's one of a kind, it's unique.
I thought that the difference between hotels and motels was a motel has the stairs on the outside, a hotel you go inside and that's where the hallways are.
That could be it.
But then I still don't know what the difference with an inn is. So all my stories are very short this week. I have 4 of them all together, but I wanted to start in Springfield, Vermont with the Hartness House. Built in 1904 by James Hartness, he was a governor of Vermont. He was also an inventor and he had over 100 patents in his name. He built this house And he was just a crazy smart guy, and he really liked to look at the sky. So he ended up building himself a telescope, and around the telescope, so it's off in like one corner of the property, a little ways away from his house. Around the telescope, he builds himself like a little igloo room to protect him from all weather. And he then builds a tunnel underneath his yard that runs from the telescope back to the main house. And it was actually a pretty decent tunnel. It was like 7 feet tall and 4 feet wide, and it ran the whole distance. I do just want to point out that I think it was a little strange that you need a telescope to protect you in all weather, because if it's raining out, what are you looking at?
Aliens.
Not if it's raining, you can't see anything.
Yeah, you can see if an alien's coming to get you.
Yeah, but it has to come down under the clouds. And you'd
clouds
be
able- wicked high up. They're wicked high. You'd be really surprised. They're up there.
Okay. Anyway, that was just my thought about it. I was like, this seems like a strange thing. Why do you need a room to protect you? But anyway, he then decided that it was too noisy to work in his house, or too many distractions. So he built himself a little cabin in the yard where he could go and work. And he worked out there for a little while, but then he found that the cabin in the yard was way too noisy and nature was now way too distracting. So he went down into his tunnel and he said, you know, I'd really like to have a room down here. And so he started building all of these rooms underneath the yard out in front of his house. He ended up in the end with a library, a workshop, a bathroom, a study, and a lounge, all connected to each other and then connected back to the main house by the tunnel. And apparently it was very, very quiet in there, and he got lots and lots of work done.
Can I ask a question?
Of course.
This is underground, right?
Yes. Did I not mention that?
You might have.
Okay.
And what, how do you, so he like dug all the dirt out and made rooms?
Yeah.
Did he pay people to do this, or did he do it himself?
I don't know, but this was in like the early 1900s. I'm thinking he probably did most of it himself. He was just that kind of guy. He seemed very interested in doing stuff and learning how to do stuff and create stuff. So
like, where do you put all the dirt?
I think he just dragged it out and made big piles in his yard.
Speculation.
It's true. It is speculation, but that's typically what you do with dirt when you move it. Anyway, so down in these tunnels, you know, since he died, I'm sure somewhere I wrote down when he died, but I can't find it right at the moment. I did not write it down. That's interesting. Anyway, so he died. It becomes an inn in 1954. It ends up closing in 2020 due to that little COVID thing. But in the time that it was an inn, lots of people came and they stayed at the inn, and people have been down in the rooms down under the tunnels. And they say that they have seen James Harkness himself as a full body apparition. He walks around. He likes to move objects that people put down. Apparently he doesn't like the changes that people make. He will just make things disappear from one spot and actually appear in another spot. Like, it's not like it disappears and then 3 days later it turns up. It's like it was over here on the left side of the room and I blinked and now it's on the right side of the room, sort of like make stuff move. And he likes to go around and turn the lights off when people are down in the basement exploring his space. That's one ghost that is at the Harkness Inn. The other one is actually in the main house itself. So back in the 1920s, I believe, Charles Lindbergh, the famous guy that flew across the Atlantic, or I don't know, maybe around the room, maybe it was around the world. So there's... Should I try that again?
I'd keep it.
So Charles Lindbergh stayed at the hotel in the 1920s or so. He was the guy that flew across the Atlantic, I think. He has a room named after him. It is the Lindbergh room. And interestingly enough, the Lindbergh room is haunted by a young boy named Charlie. In fact, it's such a regular occurrence to get communications from Charlie that I was reading one account of a family who goes and stays at the inn who insists on staying in that room so that they can communicate with Charlie. To the point of if they had an appointment to come or they had booked a stay and they can't make it, they call and ask the staff to put a note in the Lindbergh room explaining why they won't be there. So that's kind of neat.
I said that's a word for it.
Yeah, it's a word for it. Anyway, so it's actually for sale. So if you are interested in purchasing a little inn up in, where is this again? Springfield, Vermont. And you have $750,000 laying around, you can get in touch with the real estate agent. They will be happy to bring you for a showing.
Good story, Beth.
Oh, gee, thanks, Amelia.
So while you were telling your story, I looked up the difference between a hotel and an inn.
Okay, is that why you started laughing at me?
No, I started laughing because you said something funny. Okay. Inn denotes a boutique property. Perhaps each room is decorated in a unique style with furnishings that match the inn's location, rustic, row-hewn, wooden frame chairs, black bears, or trout-adorning fabric in the Rocky Mountains. Most often, inns are small and located out of a city center and run by the owner rather than a corporation. Hotels are the products of big corporations. Hotels are larger buildings with rooms that have similar decorating, a cohesive color scheme throughout. Welcome to the land of blue hue with a splash of vibrant spring green, so you will know that we are hip. Hotels are the products of big corporations, professional designers, matching furniture plucked from the warehouse, offering long-lasting, almost comfortable furniture in each room being identical, giving patrons a familiarity and knowledge of what you see online is what you get.
How about a motel?
Motels tend to be smaller buildings. The actual word motel is derived from a combination of motor and hotel. It was coined post-World War II when the motoring American public began traveling the interstate system in large numbers. Often located off major highways, and while they typically offer many of the same features as a hotel, they tend to be smaller buildings, usually under three stories with ample free parking, and can be priced above or below both an inn or a hotel. All terms can be used interchangeably and often inappropriately. For example, a Holiday Inn is clearly not a boutique property, despite the word inn in the corporate title.
Okay. Well,
I think you are right about that, though, that motels have like doors on the outside.
I think so.
And they're known for like nefarious activity.
Yeah, because then people just jump in their cars and drive away. So, Amelia, do you have any stories this week?
Oh, why, yes, Beth Ellen, I do have a story. Tonight, let me tell you the tale of the Green Mountain Inn. I have a lot of this information over at hauntedrooms.com. Hauntedrooms.com, a really great website. They tell you about the haunted places to stay everywhere you go. The charming Green Mountain Inn, located in historic Stowe, Vermont, has 105 rooms and suites. It features a large sauna, afternoon tea, and massage services. Each of the rooms in the hotel has handcrafted furnishings from Vermont furniture makers. Whip Bar and Grill only serves food made from local farm produce and even local microbreweries. The bar provides fine dining with a casual atmosphere, and they have extensive menu of flavorful food. I'd stay here. I'm sold. I read all that. I'm like, that sounds like my type of place. Have some afternoon tea. Get a massage, support local businesses. I'm all about it. The hotel was built by Peter C. Lovejoy in 1883, and he later traded it to Stillman Churchman for a farm. Churchman added a dance hall, two bricked wings, and a double front porch after acquiring the property. He also renamed it the Mansfield House, but he lost the business to the bank in a foreclosure. Womp womp. It was then renamed the Brick House. She's a brick. House. And in 1893, it was purchased by Mark C. Lovejoy, and later it became Green Mountain Inn. In 1982, Canadian visitor named Marvin Gameroff fell in love with the inn and bought the property. The inn is now owned by the Gameroff Trust. While various renovations throughout the years have brought the hotel into the modern age, a spirit from the 1800s reportedly still haunts the halls. Everyone who has ever worked in the hotel, as well as guests who have checked into the hotel, know the legend of Boots Berry. Bootsberry was the inn's former horseman, and he was the son of another inn's former horseman and chambermaid. He was given the name Bootsberry because he liked to tap dance. He was actually born in the hotel.
I think chambermaids get a bad rap. I was still stuck on the fact that you used the term chambermaid. And I'm like, oh, something was happening there. I'm like, wait, but she didn't say anything was happening there. Why did you think that? Because this is my whole thought process. Because chambermaids are known for being, you know, a little inappropriate.
I've never heard that before.
What?
The chambermaid?
The chambermaid? Like the little maid in the French outfit who comes in, like the chambermaid? Like the person who's going to come in and clean up your bedroom.
Well, I don't know. This chambermaid was clicking boots with the horsemen, and that's how they had Bootsberry.
Aha! I knew it.
She gave birth to Boots in room 302, which was the servants' quarters at that time. He was also a horseman himself and was thrust into Providence. No. He was thrust into prominence when he saved a stagecoach full of passengers.
That's much better.
He was riding his horse and someone just pushed him into Providence. Hopped right over Massachusetts. My goodness. All right. So anyway, he became a big deal because he saved a stagecoach full of passengers. He was called a hero and was even awarded a medal. However, Boots was dismissed from the hotel because of his excessive drinking, and he went about wandering the country for many years. He drifted back to Stowe, and in 1902, he saved a child who was struck on the rooftop during a snowstorm. However, Bootsberry slipped and fell to his death from the roof from above where he was born. Circle of life, you know? So legend has it, the people who stay in the hotel hear him tap dancing on the roof. The end. So I have another small story out of Stowe. Do you want me to read it now?
Sure.
So Stowe is a hotspot for haunted inns, apparently, because it is also home to the Brass Lantern Inn. The inn was originally an 1810 farmhouse with a carriage house. Throughout the years, the house had been carefully maintained, and in 1988, restored and opened as the Brass Lantern Inn. Many people who stay at the Brass Lantern Inn hear people late into the night speaking loudly and talking about the good time they just had at a party. In all cases, it's in reference to the same room. And in all cases, there were no guests in that room or even in a room nearby. They were always the only guests on that stairwell. So it's like people hear people talking all around about this crazy party, but no one's there. According to Vermonter.com, innkeeper Andy Aldrich once reported that the guests tell me basically the same story every time. Quote, a guest will say, I heard some people who arrived very late at night in a room across the hall from me. I heard them speaking and talking about the really good time they just had. This is in the context of having been to a dance or a party. Guests often ask, who were the people who came in late last night talking loud enough so I could hear their words? And where did they go to that party? Another guest version of a similar query. I heard the people across the hall from me last night talking and laughing and speaking about how happy they were. In all of these instances, there's a reference to the same room, always late at night, and with similar descriptions as to what they heard the other guests saying. Oddly enough, there were never any guests across the hall. They, the real guests, were the only ones in the room on that stairwell. I myself have heard what I thought were people up in that room when I know I haven't registered anyone there. I go and look and don't find anyone. So it's a very nice couple who happen to be in spirits. Yes. That's all I got on there. Short and sweet.
That's very fun.
Yeah.
I like happy stories like that. You know, like there was nothing terrible that happened there. It's just, you know, spirits
that we know of.
Well, not in that particular scenario. They just seem to have enjoyed that party and are coming back and enjoying it over and over again.
Having a ball.
See? Isn't that what you want to think of as like the afterlife where you get to, you know, like, that was a real fun thing we did. Like, we could go and try and do that again, or we could try new things. Or
Yeah.
I'm kind of looking forward to it.
There you
go. All right. Next up, I'm going to spell this first, and then we'll all figure out together how I should say it. Q-U-E-C-H-E-E.
Queechy.
Queechy?
Queechy.
All right. I was going Queechy, but no, that didn't sound right.
No. It's Queechy.
Queechy? All right. So we are talking about the Queechy Inn. If I'm saying it wrong, please write in ghosthuntinginnewengland@gmail.com and tell me how to say it right. I love getting corrections. All right. It was built in 1793 for Colonel Joseph Marsh, the very first lieutenant governor of Vermont. And apparently I was tired when I wrote that down because I wrote lieutenant governor of TV instead of VT. Ooh. Yeah. it's actually on the National Register of Historic Places.
Cool.
So Colonel Joseph Marsh lived there for a while. And in 1845, John Porter and his wife Jane bought the property. They lived there until he died, John Porter, in 1886. And at that point, Jane moved herself into rooms 1 through 6. It was her parlor and her study, and she spent really the next 4 years in those 6 rooms exclusively. And she died in 1900. John and Jane never left the inn. They have hung around since then. The two of them are both seen, full body apparitions of them, around the inn. They make noises. They are the source of footsteps or footstep sounds. Jane, she whistles to people in the dining room while they're trying to eat.
Isn't that nice?
Don't you want someone coming over and whistling at you while you're trying to eat?
Oh my gosh. No, thank you.
Right? Like that's crazy. She also hangs out in rooms 1 through 6 now. She's seen there fairly regularly. There's also a little issue in room 9. In room 9, guests in that room often report that they hear footsteps, really heavy footsteps in the room above them in the night. And so they'll complain about it in the morning, except there's no room above room 9. In fact, it's just sort of a storage space. There isn't even a floor above them.
Whoa.
It's, you know how when there's just like the wood and the insulations between it? Have you ever been in an attic?
Yes, an attic.
So like it looks like that. So there's no way anybody's up there stomping around. John is quite often seen coming from the dining room, out of the dining room into the main hallway, just the full body. He just sort of like floats through, takes the corner, and then just fades away. So I don't know. In my imagination, he's leaving some fight that he got in the dining room. There was some argument over dinner, and he's just, that's my imagination. Maybe Jane whistled at him one too many times. That would really make
maybe me Jane was whistling at someone else. You know what I mean?
I didn't get the sense that it was that kind of whistle. I got the sense that it was like being annoying kind of whistle. But if you stayed at the Queechy, is that how we're saying it?
Yeah.
The Queechy Inn in Queechy, Vermont, and you know differently, by all means, write in ghosthuntinginnewengland@gmail.com. I am going to do so many plugs for the email address. It's going to be disgusting.
Kichi kichi ya ya da da.
I don't think that's the same thing. All right, wait, there's one more ghost at the Queechy Inn. It's a man named Patrick Marsh. He's known to just pop up. He likes to move stuff around and he will turn your TV and lights on and off at random on you. Wow. You can go and stay at the Queechy Inn. It is at 1119 Queechy Main Street in Queechy, Vermont.
Wow, cool.
I didn't get prices, but what's it worth to go and possibly see a ghost? Can you put a price on that?
My next story is about the Equinox Hotel in Manchester, Vermont. And I got information on this from onlyinyourstate.com, Vermonter, and Haunted Places to Go. So, in 1769, construction began what would become the Equinox. Rich in history, this spot has long been a hotspot for luxury, and many important guests have visited over the years, including a whole bunch of U.S. presidents and even one vice president. William Howard Taft, Ulysses S. Grant, Theodore Roosevelt, Benjamin Harrison, and Vice President James S. Sherman all stayed at the hotel at various times. Roosevelt even gave a campaign speech on the front lawn. However, it's not of any of these presidents who are said to be the ghostly presence that haunts the hotel. It's a former first lady. Which first lady do you think it is? I'll give you a hint. Not married to any of the people I just mentioned.
You know, I read all the websites that you read, right? Would you like to play a game with the listeners?
All right, listeners, take your guess, everyone. What is Mary Todd Lincoln, Amelia? That's right.
Who is Mary Todd Lincoln?
Oh, boy.
It's just one of those nights.
Yeah, I know. We are caught up with the gigglies. Okay. So Mary Todd Lincoln, wife of President Abraham Lincoln. Mary Todd Lincoln first visited the Equinox during the summer of 1864. She made a reservation to visit again the following year with her husband in a special suite that was even constructed in anticipation of the president's visit. But unfortunately, before they could visit, he was assassinated on April 14th, 1865. Now, I just think, I don't know what I want to say. I have feelings. I don't even know what my feelings are. I don't know. Like the presidency, it's still a big deal. But like, think about how much more of a big deal it was. Like, this hotel built a new suite because they knew the president was going to show up in like a year. So they built a fancy room. I mean, people don't do that anymore.
I don't think places build new rooms, but, you know, they walk around and like, you know, give everything a fresh paint job. And
I would definitely do that. I would do that.
Spruce up the gardens.
Okay. So guests have reported unusual activity and otherworldly events at the resort. These typical recipes for hauntings include shadows that move quickly out of the corner of the eye, ghostly whispers and cold spots in various places within the hotel. Strange lights have been seen, along with the general feeling of not being alone. So at the hotel, many have experienced what appears to be voices speaking in a whisper, while others have caught glimpses of what appear to be full figures from the corner of their eyes. Then there are some who claim they feel a quick chill on their hair on the back of their neck, and their arm hairs stand up. Many have said they've seen items move or just disappear from where they had left. And others have stated that lights have resulted in waking up in their nights on and off. So there's also Mary's son, Robert Todd Lincoln. I didn't know Abraham Lincoln had children. I've never thought about it.
I had no idea either.
It's never even like crossed. But like, why wouldn't he?
Right.
Why wouldn't he? Well, he had at least one, and his name's Robert Todd Lincoln. And he loved the area just as much as his mom did. So he ended up building Hilden. I don't know how to say it. Haldeny? I don't know. But it's an impressive summer estate just down the road. So employees over there have allegedly seen ghostly shadows on the third floor in a woman and child that coincide with the description of Mary Todd Lincoln and one of her other sons. So that's kind of cool.
I wonder if she remarried after he died.
I don't know.
Because that would have meant that he had more than one son. That's crazy.
He could have had 20. I have no idea. Let's look it up. The first thing that comes up is Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter. it was the first suggestion under my Google. Oh my goodness. In office died children. His children were as follows. Robert, Edward, Willie, and Tab.
Say that again.
Robert,
Edward, William,
Willie, and Tad.
Tad?
Thomas Tad Lincoln III.
Oh, okay. So his name was Thomas. Like, who names their kid Tad?
Well, hold on. No, I had to look at his page to see it was Thomas. Under here, it says Tad under his father's page.
Hmm.
There you go. That's all I got. That's all I got. That's all my stories for tonight. I have nothing else.
Well, they were good stories.
Thanks.
They were good for a couple of laughs, too.
Ha, 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 ha,
ha. Well, then in that case, I have two more stories. Both of them are pretty quick, though. So let's talk about the Marble Inn or the Marble Mansion in Fairhaven, Vermont. I'm actually going to start this one with the ghosts instead of waiting until the end, because that's what people are waiting for. So there are a whole bunch of ghosts, actually, that run around this little inn. There is a man in a gray suit. Lots of guests report waking up and just seeing him standing there watching them. There was one incident of two kids were at the inn and they got locked into a room from the inside, and the innkeeper went up and unlocked the door with like the master key, and the door still wouldn't open. They couldn't get the kids out. They had to like break down the door to get through. It was, it was like supernaturally locked. There's another great story that one of the repairmen was there. He was working in the basement and he sees this random woman. And, you know, guests aren't supposed to be in the basement. So he's like, hey, get out of here. And she ignores him and walks into a room. And he's like, knock it, like, you're not supposed to be in here. Come on, get out of here. And he walks around the corner into the room and she's gone. It's just a dark, empty room. No lady, she's gone. And then the last part is that there's children, that just ghost children running around the halls sometimes, which is kind of scary. But what's interesting is that all of these happenings are fairly recent. It was only when the last owner, like before the current owner right now in 2021, died in the tea room that any of these things started happening. So it's crazy because she hasn't owned the place more than a couple of years. There was this big, long history of when it was built and who owned it. And it passed through these different families. And then it says, and then, you know, since the 1990s, it's gone through a whole series of owners. So I didn't really care enough to go find out who it was, because it seemed like there were a whole bunch of different spirits that are hanging around there. So I'm just kind of curious. Oh, Amelia's going to go look it up now. I'm just kind of curious. Were they always there? Did that guy dying there like open up some sort of like, I don't know, portal? The spirits could now come through. Was he keeping them under wraps? But that doesn't seem to make sense because he didn't own it for very long himself. But anyway, that's the Marble Inn. It's in Fairhaven, Vermont. But in doing my research for this one, right? So the guy that built the house, he had to buy the property, but there was already a house on the property. So they moved the house. Do you know how they move the houses?
On a boat.
Nope. So back in like the 1800s, they would pick the house up and they would put it on these big rollers, like big logs, and they would have horses pull the house. And as they pulled it along the logs and it came off the one at the back, they would move the log to the front to keep it rolling down the street.
Cool.
I thought that was very neat, since we seem to have a theme going on this season about moving houses. Yeah. Weird. So it was also, fun fact, the first house in Fairfax County to have electricity in 1893.
Cool.
Yeah. So... all right. My fourth and final story of the night is about the White House Inn in Wilmington, Vermont. Built in 1915 as the summer home for the lumber baron Martin Brown and his wife Clara. The house is believed to be haunted by the old mistress of the house, Clara Brown. She appears in the form of full body apparitions. She manifests cold spots. She slams doors. She appears and she speaks to people. She moves things from one area to the other. So there's two rooms, especially in the hotel, that are particularly haunted. The first one is room 9. And one guest, actually there were two guests that this happened to, but one of the stories is that she was sleeping in the bed and she woke up and she saw a woman sitting at the foot of the bed. And as soon as she woke up, the woman at the foot of the bed turns to her and said, there's only enough room for one Mrs. Brown in this room. Well, of course, the woman sleeping in the bed happened to be named Mrs. Brown as well. And she got up in the middle of the night, packed her stuff and left. there was also a report from room 6. There was the only party that was there in the hotel that night. So it's just these two people in room 6 and the innkeeper down in the main room. And so the party from room 6 comes down. It's like midnight or so. And they're like, why are you banging on our door? What are you doing? And the innkeeper's like, I'm not touching your door. I haven't been anywhere near even your hallway. And they all walk back up there together. And the innkeeper opens up their door to their room, and suddenly the radio turns on and it starts playing like 1930s big band music. Like the alarm wasn't set, that, and no radio station is playing that music like just over the airways. Like, it was crazy. And so the last quick little thing that I wanted to talk about was an additional haunting figure that showed up. So this was New Year's Eve. It was a couple of years ago, maybe like 2006 or seven. So the bar area is completely full of people. And so there were a lot of witnesses to this happening, but a cloaked figure just comes very quickly right down the stairs. Everyone turns and is like, well, that's weird. Walks out into the middle of the crowded bar area and vanishes.
Wow.
Right? Like, what the crap?
Do we say that word on this show?
Can we? I mean, what the?
You're,
what
you're
the
one who, you're the one who doesn't like swearing. Don't look at me about it.
Crap's not a swear, is it?
Like, it was my house.
Like, what the carrot stalk, people? What the carrot stalk?
What the hiddly hoop?
The hiddly hoop. There you go. All right. So then we also have the basement. So there's a vault in the basement, and apparently there was a thief in the inn, and Cora Brown caught him, grabbed him, locked him in the vault, and let him starve to death.
Wow. Nice,
right? Nice lady. The current owner has a dog, and that dog will not go anywhere near the vault. They have held seances, and one of the mediums who came for the seance, I guess there was a whole group of them that night, was like, well, this spirit is just like a worker type and really just wants to be left alone, like is not interested in this. And in fact, was so like frightened of the spirit there that she was like, no, we're irritating him. And she just got up and left.
Wow.
So yeah. Kind of a neat place. Anyway, so that's the White House Inn in Wilmington, Vermont. Oh. And you can go and you can stay there and see if maybe, oh, if your name, if your last name is Brown, go and stay in room 9 and see if she wakes you up and is like, there's only room for one Mrs. Brown in this room.
Yeah. And report back.
GhostHuntingInNewEngland@gmail.com.
Ooh.
So that's it. That's my story. That's all four of them.
So I feel like we should mention something right now as you continue to plug our website and or our email address. And that is that we are not doing any more drive-by ghostings this season. I think if anyone has any more, they should send it. It's going to be on next season. You got anything else?
No.
I have a small little personal plug, small, minute. And that is, well, after we are done recording season 5, I will be doing a true crime podcast with Jamie Day. So everyone should go check out me and Jamie Day some vague time, probably like December, it'll come out. But you can follow us on Instagram at Lost Souls of America podcast. It's our podcast. You can find us. And despite the fact that Jamie is a medium and Amelia is a paranormal investigator, we will not be talking anything paranormal or mediumistic on the show. It's true crime.
So go and check out their new venture together.
Check us out.
Sure, it's going to be terrific.
Lost Souls of America podcast on Instagram.
You know what people can do?
What?
They can check us out on social media.
Hey.
We're on the Facebook, Ghost Hunting in New England. We're on the Instagram, Ghost Hunting in New England. We're on the Twitter, Ghost Hunting NE. You can visit our website, ghosthuntinginnewengland.com. Send us an email, ghosthuntinginnewengland@gmail.com. We're on YouTube. We're on Stitcher. We're on Spreaker. We're on, you name it, we're on it. You know what we're not on? Crack.
And as always,
happy hunting.